Blue Gold Sports is rich in tradition and excellence. It's about the athletes, the coaches, the games, and the history. And it all rolls into one place. It's the Rollin' with the Golds podcast, your official UW Eau Claire Blue Golds podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Rollin' with the Golds podcast. I don't think I've ever seen you with those glasses before, man. You're looking studious. I like it.
You haven't?
I don't think I've ever seen you with those.
Do you know which ones these are? Limited edition 2021 NCAA National Champions.
All right.
Shout out volleyball.
Yeah, I like that.
I have like three pairs at home.
I can imagine. So
you got one?
Yeah.
All right. It'll be a late Christmas present for you
next week. Or maybe a very early birthday.
When is your birthday?
July.
That works too.
Oh, man. We're going to dive right into it because, dude, what a heck of a weekend this past weekend here. I know we're going to be talking with some swimmers coming up in the second half of this episode, too.
Some WIAC champions.
That's, again, we've had Coach Annie on before, but what a heck of a weekend for both the men's and women's swimming and diving. Let's lead off right there. With those two programs.
Well, before we get to that, I kind of want to read some stuff off to you.
Okay.
This is how good of a weekend we had. So it was the first weekend in program history where three WIAC titles are won.
Mm-hmm.
So two swimming, one wrestling.
Wrestling.
It was the first wrestling title ever, which, yep, shout out Coach Fader. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been pumping his tires the entire year, yep, rightfully so.
Almost every episode, it seems like.
Right, and they got it done, which, yep, is awesome. We'll probably get to them,
yep,
a little later. First WIAC swim sweep since 2011.
Mm.
So the first time a WIAC school has taken both the men's and the women's titles. It was first time for EC sweeping the titles since 1999. Last time three sports won a title in the same year was 2011.
Mm. So
three winter sports.
Yeah.
Last was 2011. I believe it was basketball and the swimmer. Basketball. Gosh, what was
maybe
it?
Hockey?
Basketball, hockey, and swim, I think.
Okay.
We had 28 individual champions, so that does not include relays.
Yeah.
But then once you toss in the relay winners this weekend, 43 total blue golds took home.
Wow.
Championship medals this past weekend.
Wow.
Between swimming and wrestling.
Put it in the perspective of that way, that's unreal. That's unbelievable. That's a fantastic weekend.
They got it done.
Yeah, they did.
They got it done.
Yep.
So, yeah, diving right into swimming, it was one of those things where, and we'll talk with the swimmers, because I want to get what their perspective is, because our perspective from the office is, like, after day two, both teams were up by, like, 125 points.
Mm.
And we're like, it's over, right? Like,
yeah,
this is kind of a landslide. So I want to get what their perspective is, because when it comes to scoring and everything like that, it does kind of, I don't know if like 125 points is like a huge margin,
mm-hmm,
or not. It's kind of like
gymnastics where I said I thought it looked like it was like a few points, but you said no, it's actually a little bit bigger.
Right. Like a five point difference in gymnastics is actually like, it's like pretty big.
Right.
Whereas like, I mean, in simpler terms, like a 5-point lead in basketball is way different than like a 5-goal lead in hockey.
Right.
Right. Yep. So it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I was texting Coach Ryder all day Saturday, not all day Saturday, cause she was coaching, but all night Saturday after they won it, and seeing some of the videos of the men's and women's team jumping into the pool afterwards, and just couldn't be happier for that team. The women going back to back, the men winning their first title since 99,
mm-hmm,
breaking points 23 year streak.
Yeah.
I had some other people from other schools reach out and be like, thank you. It's like, you're welcome.
That's awesome to hear that.
So just an overall stellar weekend, mm-hmm, from both teams, both sides, program records, school records, meet records. I mean, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody showed up, showed out, and rightfully so. They captured both titles.
So I'm looking at the schedule here now because the NCAA championships are middle of March, but they got, is it the diving zones, they call it, the NCAA diving zones on here?
Yeah, so those are, so diving zones are like regionals.
Okay.
So it's just like an extra opportunity, I believe it's just an extra opportunity for the divers to just get into the pool and
okay,
and compete to hit their cuts.
Gotcha.
So I'm probably going to butcher this. I probably should know this, but we just found out about this yesterday because swimming's a weird one. Mm-hmm. It always is. So
good question for our guest, though, too.
Right. Yeah. So, like, I'll compare it to track. So, like, for track,
the last chance meets kind of sort of
thing? Last chance meets, but when it comes to nationals for track, mm-hmm, and even for conference, you have to have it's like the top how many times in the nation they automatically qualify for it.
Okay.
Right. So for track, for the men, it's like the top 20, 25 times for the 60-meter dash in the indoor. Those 25, 20 individuals get invites to the national meet. For swimming, if you hit a certain mark, there's zone cuts. There's an A cut and a B cut. And from my understanding, if you hit an A cut in an event, so say hit the A cut in the 200-yard backstroke, you get to go to nationals for that, but mm-hmm, then you also get to choose two events you also want to swim in.
Okay.
But I don't know how that goes, because if I reach the 200-yard backstroke, but then I want to do, like, the 200-yard free,
mm-hmm,
like, what if I'm awful at the free? Am I just taking somebody's spot?
We'll have to ask her. Our guests coming up here once. The experts, right?
Yeah. It's weird.
It is weird.
Nonetheless, they are swimming fast. They are swimming strong. And they're kind of just, I mean, they've been blowing teams out all year.
Right.
But, like, looking at the times throughout the year, they just, it's almost like the track team, where they're seeming to peak at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
They really are. So
not only track, but maybe the wrestling team, too.
Right.
Yeah, so at the right time.
So yeah, shout out Swim and Dive. That was it was fun to watch, fun to follow along,
mm-hmm,
and just they're beyond excited, and yeah, they'll wait a couple weeks to see where they land for nationals.
Yep,
and then from there they'll just, if they're chosen, great,
mm-hmm, awesome, good deal. So the other one, wrestling, another fantastic weekend. First time, as you already mentioned, program history, WIAC championship, sharing it with lacrosse over there, but still, first time. We've talked about it how many times, about where this program was not that long ago. Not a lot of wrestlers. Coach Fader comes in, rebuilds the program. This season alone, he has had some great, a lot of wrestlers out there going across the nation, competing at the highest levels, and we get to the WIAC championships. We talked about it last week, you know, with the goals and what's on their mindset. They came through, and they got it done.
They did.
Got it done.
And it came. It was a team effort. It really was. You know, I'm sorry. I have the hiccups. This is awful.
What are you nervous about there, man?
I have no idea. I really don't. But three individual champions, Izzy Balsiger, which, that story, we have to have Izzy on.
Yeah, we do.
We're going to...
Mm-hmm. I know we talked a little bit about last week, but we got to get him
next
on
couple weeks. And maybe we'll wait until wrestling season kind of dies down, because I know that they're busy and, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. I'm actually surprised we even got swimmers with them still in season.
Right.
But Izzy Balsiger winning at the 125 mark, first 125-pounder champion we've had since 2003. Jared Stricker winning at the 174. I believe Jared's the first blue gold to win three titles. I think that's what we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first blue gold ever to win three WIAC championships,
mm-hmm,
which is awesome.
Yep.
And then Connor Collins, who was actually named Wrestler of the Meet, won at the 184 pound. He upset the ninth ranked kid out of lacrosse for the title. First career title as a senior. I mean, again, they're rolling.
Yeah, they are.
They are.
As you mentioned, peaking at the right time. Get an off week here to kind of get ready for the Midwest regionals and Point in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Coming up here.
But it was weird because that that decision literally came down to the last match. So it came down to the 285 match. We had 160. I'm trying to go through the math again in my head because I was looking at it. I think we had like 157 points, mm-hmm. and lacrosse had 154 going into last match. So we had the title before the last match.
Okay.
And then our 285er unfortunately took the loss in the championship, which nothing against him. Mm-hmm. He took second as a freshman, like, yeah. like very, very tall task, especially, you know, against lacrosse. And so lacrosse ended up winning that one. They grabbed, which what must have been 7.5 points. Mm-hmm. We grabbed 4.5 points. Both teams ended at 161.5. And then there was apparently just chaos because I don't know that the Wyack has had a tie for first in like forever.
Yeah.
And so
a lot of like, what do we do here sort of stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was talking to some staff at Platteville and they were like, who gets the trophy? who are we announcing? And so the decision was made by the conference office that for co-champions, which is fine. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I kind of was funny to watch the live stream. Lacrosse went up on the podium, took their picture, and then they reluctantly gave the trophy over to Coach Fader and the squad. And
yeah,
they all hopped up on the podium and took their team photo too. So
nice. So you got to get a duplicate trophy.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I mean, because
or just give it to us. Like,
yeah, right, exactly. Who has it right now?
That school down south has enough. Right, yeah. Like.
Thank you.
Share the wealth.
You after, yeah, finally.
I caught myself, all right? I'm sorry.
Excuse me, but who has a trophy right now?
That's a good question. I actually don't know.
You have to get on the hunt for that one.
The swimmers do.
Swimmers
do. I know that.
Yeah, exactly. So before we get to the swimmers here quick, we got hockey also kind of going on here too. We're getting ready for some postseason, some WIAC action too. So this should be a fun battle. Coming up here.
Semi-final hockey weekend down at Hobbs. Uh-huh. It happens every year.
Yep.
It's the best. It's the best. It really is. So women took an unfortunate loss last weekend against River Falls. Tough. I mean, credit to River Falls. That team, 25-0.
Yeah.
That team's good. They really are. And they stuck it to the Blue Golds. They're going to be a hard team to beat.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just flat out, you know, and it's one of those things where that was us a couple years ago where you couldn't beat us. Mm-hmm. And so, but they got to take care of business at home first. The women get UW Superior Friday, Saturday, mm-hmm. 2 p.m. puck drop for both of those. How the WIAC works, because there's not as many teams in the tournament, it is a two-game series. If the teams split, there's a 20-minute mini game played after Saturday's game,
mm-hmm.
To decide the winner. I'm not too fond of it. I think it's...
You don't like that quick action, high intensity? It's kind of weird. I agree with you.
Here's my opinion. A one-period game after playing 60 minutes should not decide who advances. It shouldn't,
mm-hmm.
and if that's the case, make it a Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing.
Oh yeah, and then you know have the Sunday game just in case,
right?
Sort of thing.
Yep. Make Saturday optional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like for me, and like selfishly, like if we don't have to play Saturday, great.
Right.
That frees up my Saturday a little bit with everything else going on.
Right.
But nonetheless, that's how it goes. Again, I don't get paid enough to make those rules, so
it sounds like you're putting in your ring in the hat though for maybe making those rules.
My ring in the hat?
Yeah, your ring. What did I say?
Hat in the ring. Well, no, you said ring in the hat.
Yeah, and it is hat in the ring.
Yeah.
Okay. Got no, that established.
I don't want that job. Danielle Harris can keep that. I love her. She's great. She's done great things for this conference and is always actively not only vouching for us, but for the rest of the WIAC, and mm-hmm. there's some big things coming from the conference office. But That's for another time.
Awesome.
Maybe we'll see if we can get her out here.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but yeah, but then it's doubleheader weekend down there. Mm-hmm. Men, we get the I-94, War 94 Rivalry Series postseason edition. The men will take on Stout Friday and Saturday, 7:30 puck drop.
Mm-hmm.
Push back a little half hour just because we have to allow time if there were that mini game or overtime. And
right.
The rink staff needs enough time to reset the rink and everything like that. So
absolutely.
That's going to be a good series. Winner of that series will then take on the winner of River Falls and Point.
Okay.
Point's got the one seed, so if they advance, championship will be over at Stevens Point.
Gotcha. If they don't. Back at Hobbs?
Yes, sir. If there we win, it's going to be – this weekend is going to be packed. Mm-hmm. I have a very good feeling we could hit some crazy marks for attendance. And the band's going to be there Friday night for the men's game. It's going to be mm-hmm. it's going to be a great atmosphere.
Awesome. And then really quick before we get to our guests here, we got the WIAC Indoor Championships for track and field this
yes.
weekend too. So.
Yep. And again, I mean, like Coach said, it's just – it's one of those things where he'll send who he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be our top people, but
yep.
it's an extra opportunity to get better, see mm-hmm. where we're at in the year, and
mm-hmm.
they'll go over and compete. It's over at Whitewater.
Yep.
So, Cashel Fieldhouse.
Mm-hmm. And then they've got the national championships a couple weeks after that, like middle-ish of March, I believe.
Right. They'll probably add in like a last chance meet here or there.
Okay.
Which is funny because we're talking about swimming. Jason yesterday goes, oh, maybe we should add a last chance meet ourselves for swim and dive just so we can hit some faster marks. I don't know if Annie would want that, but.
I love his mindset, though.
Right.
That's awesome.
So yeah, we're getting to the thick of it for winter sports as far as postseason goes. It's a great time.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, gymnastics, heading down to DeKalb, Illinois. Get a little bit of a special treatment. Taking on some D1 schools.
Ooh.
Northern Illinois State, and Alaska.
Wow. All right. So still a lot of good stuff happening, especially these teams still active in the postseason run, too. So speaking of the postseason run, let's talk with some swimmers who had
yes,
a fantastic weekend. And we'll catch up with them and kind of look to what's next for those individuals. First up, though, quick break from a word from our sponsors, and then we'll continue our conversation talking some swimming and diving after this quick break.
Let's raise a glass to the greatest gas rewards program. We're excited to share Festival Foods Gas Rewards includes beer, wine, spirits, and more. So everyone can load up the cart with their favorite beverages and load up on rewards for quick trip gas. Our aisles are stocked with everything from local breweries and international wineries to craft cocktail kits and refreshing seltzers. So get ready to fill up and save big. Cheers to that. Festival Foods, local since 1946.
Milwaukee Burger Eau Claire is the perfect place to smash some post-game bloodies, beers, and of course, burgers. Superior service complements our golf ball-sized cheese curds, monstrous burgers, and an over-the-top beer selection, all served with scone-tude the way it should be. Milwaukee Burger Eau Claire.
BSN Sports, a proud supporter of Blue Gold Athletics, is the largest provider of team sports equipment and apparel in the country. With more than 40 sales pros that live and service schools in every corner of Wisconsin and beyond, BSN would like to thank all of the supporters of Blue Gold Athletics that share our passion for enhancing the student experience. While BSN Sports is the best at equipping athletes, coaches are the best at equipping lives. And that's the real final score. Learn more about how BSN can save you time off the field and the court, giving you more time to impact lives of student athletes. Contact your local BSN Sports sales pro today or visit bsnsports.com.
We're back, and we're going to be talking some swimming and diving. Nick, why don't you introduce the two swimmers we have in studio right now.
Swimmers, I call them WIAC champions.
Okay, sorry.
Right? I mean, you gotta give them their props. So,
you're right,
yeah, we got
you're
a pair right. of pair of swim and divers from Blue Gold swim and dive team, Ian Olson and Sydney McGuine, coming off a wonderful weekend out in Brown Deer, Wisconsin. Both the men and the women capturing WIAC championships. The women went back to back. The men winning for the first time since 1999. So, Ian, Sydney, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here.
Appreciate that. So, first of all, Sydney, I got to ask, what kind of coffee do you got?
Oh, it's, what was it? Caramel cream cold brew from iScience on campus.
Okay. Caramel, what kind did you get today there, Nick?
It's caramel high rise.
Okay, so we got a little caramel theme going on here. All right, just make it. Do you drink coffee either?
I do. I'm a big sweet cream cold brew. Starbucks.
Nice. Yeah. That sounds like my wife's kind.
That's usually my go-to.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. See me, I'm just black.
Or that. Yeah. Or that. I can do
boring.
That.
Mature. Or another
See,
word
I say
to
that.
Say old.
I say that, but like that's usually my go-to as well.
Yeah.
For hot coffee.
I'm just old now. 37, so.
Hey, yeah. Your word's not mine.
Yeah. I'm realizing that every day now, so. Well, guys, thanks for coming in, and again, congratulations on a fantastic weekend this past weekend. So, first up, though, tell us a little bit about where you guys are from, kind of your, maybe some of your prep history, high school history. Did you wrestle, or swim or dive in? We were talking wrestling a little bit earlier. Did you swim or dive in high school, clubs, or anything like that? Just kind of give us a little bit of a background of where you came from and how you got there. I guess you're up first.
I get the nod. So I'm actually from Chippewa Falls. Went to Chippewa Falls High School. I started swimming for the Y when I was about 5 years old. It was just the Chippewa Y back in the day, and then just recently now, the Eau Claire Y and the Chippewa Y emerged. So, started swimming when I was five, swam in high school, the middle school programs, all that good stuff. So then I ended up here.
Yeah. All right. You're up now, Sydney.
Okay. I'm from Huntley, Illinois. It's like 4 hours away. And I started swimming in high school, like the summer before high school. So I did gymnastics before, but then I broke myself. So they're like, well, you can swim.
Broke yourself?
Well, my back was broken. But it was not one instant. It was like over time.
Okay.
It hurt really bad. And then they found out it was bad.
That sounds like it would hurt really bad. So.
Yeah. So then they were like, well, you can swim. So I took swim lessons and here we are.
So you started like just swimming right before high school?
I knew how to swim, like, to survive. I just learned the strokes.
Okay. And then, that's it. Like, it wasn't kind of the opposite of you, Ian, there a little bit. So, that's a different path.
Sorry, I knew how to swim to survive. I've never heard that. That is hilarious. Makes me think of my own swimming skills.
You know how to doggy paddle? Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, I don't know if you call it doggy paddle.
But... I took swimming
lessons. Keep my head above water.
Yeah. Could swim after a boat if it gets loose from the rope or something like that. Okay, now we won't go down there, Nick.
Now you're going to one of my biggest fears.
What's in the water?
Drowning.
Oh, that's one of your biggest fears?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Why does that seem crazy?
I didn't say it. I just...
The look you gave me.
Snakes are my biggest fear, but there you go. So
my biggest fear actually is probably deep ocean. Deep water, open water.
Now we're going to get on a tangent here, because this is where I get weird looks all the time. I'm not scared of it, but it freaks me out. When you mention deep water, like not seeing the end.
Yeah.
And whales.
Can't do it. Yes. They're massive.
Thank you.
Huge.
Thank you. Nothing should be that big underwater.
Yeah.
And when you can't see it and then they like jump out, it's freaky.
No, terrible.
Thank you, Ian. Terrifying. Yes. Whales freak me out because nothing should be that big and in underwater.
Yep.
See? I found my new best friend right now. Like, I get weird looks every time I say that.
No, I'm right there with you.
Yep. Thank you. All right. Ian, you and me now. No, I'm just kidding.
That's fine. Sydney and I will drink our caramel cold brew.
Right. So, Ian, you mentioned something interesting, the swimming at the Y. I used to work at a Y. I was a sports director for a couple of years, and the swim program was huge.
Yep.
The weekends and all that. I mean, it was dedication. I think when we had Coach Ann on, and we were talking about, she used to coach, was it lacrosse, I think, the club YMCA or somewhere down
there. What school?
Right? Yeah.
That school. the one that with an L over there.
Inside joke.
Yeah. But, I mean, how big is, I think for a lot of people, in basketball you hear AAU tournaments and all that. Swimming, it seems like, for the Y, that's huge for that. Can you talk about your experience a little bit with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty comparable to that AAU season. I have a lot of friends that played hockey, and it was, I mean, meets pretty much every weekend. We were going to, around here, we were either in La Crosse, we were in Wausau, we were in, you know, Ladysmith. We'd go all over the place, down to Milwaukee pretty much every weekend, practice every day after school.
Right.
Yeah, and it's huge. It's grown so much. I think it's just so such a convenient sport for not only kids to get into, but I think parents like to get their kids into it too, just for that safety aspect in the water, and then they end up really liking it. And it's, it's pretty low impact too, I think, which keeps a lot of people in it.
Exactly.
Well, less injuries.
Speaking of less injuries and low impact, so going over to the flip side there.
Speak for yourself.
So, I mean, so what was it that drew you? You mentioned that they said, well, you can swim, but what did something else draw you to that? Were you just like a competitor? I want to do something, and that was an option. I mean, what was it that drew you to go swimming or try swimming?
Well, I did gymnastics competitively, and that was like 22 hours of practice a week.
Yeah.
And so
that's another big one in the Y, too, isn't it, gymnastics? Yeah, I remember a little bit.
I did it through club, but I don't know. Yeah. But I know they have it at Y's, too. Mm-hmm. But, so I was just losing my mind because I was really bored.
Yeah.
And so I was going to the chiropractor like three times a week, and I was like, what can I do? And he's like, well, you could swim. And I was like, okay. So then I just did it right away.
Mm-hmm.
But also my neighbors... We had, like, a above-ground pool in our backyard, and we'd swim in it every summer. And they all did the summer club just for fun, like, every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, it's so fun, you should do it. So then my brother and I did it
for
that summer, and that's what got me into it.
Okay. So, like, you mentioned your brother, Ian. Did you have any – I mean, you started young at five. Was there family or were you the first swimmer in your family? Because a lot of times we hear it's like, well, my parents did it or brothers and sisters did it.
No, I'm a first swimmer. It was honestly, my parents are both educators in the school district, so they could send me on the bus to the Y after school and send me to swim practice, so they didn't have to worry about me. And they got done with work. That was pretty much the appeal. But yeah, did the swimming lessons, ran out of swimming lessons. Or like, I was the only one that signed up for the swimming lessons, and then Kathy Krula, the old aquatics director at the Triple Y, I was like, oh, just join swim team. And first, my parents, they were not swimmers. No.
Yeah.
No. So my brother did it, but he's younger.
Yeah. So with kind of a question for both of you, you mentioned your brother, like when did you, were your parents involved in swimming? So, so for both of you, when your parents watch you, do they understand what's going on? You know, it's like point wise or anything like that.
It's definitely gotten better. My dad actually, you know, my dad got tired of sitting in the bleachers for, you know, 8 hours every weekend. So he decided to get his officiating certification so he could get paid to go to the
swim meets. Look at that. That's a smart way to do that. Yeah.
If I'm going to go, I'm going to get paid to do it. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was the question again? My parents. No, they did not know anything about that. But my dad very much so likes to be involved in everything we do with sports. So, like, in gymnastics, he was always kind of like, and he's not like, some parents are a little too much, but he was, like, coaching me, but he doesn't actually know anything. And he does the same, thing with swimming. But, yeah, they don't really know anything about it other than they just pick up. As time goes on, I talk to him about it. But,
Kind of go with how the general cheers maybe go to with the crowd, like, must be a good thing going on right there, sort of thing. So,
does Sydney have a smile on her face? I think I should be celebrating.
Yeah. So, tell us a little bit about your experiences. You know, you guys both swam in high school, it sounds like. What's the biggest difference that you've noticed or you've experienced maybe from the high school level to the college level? Right now, what was there a big difference? Was there a big, you know, maybe something you had to get used to a little bit? What would you say was the biggest difference to get used to?
I guess I really enjoyed my high school swimming. We had a smaller my freshman and sophomore year, we had a bigger team. It was about 25-30 kids, but as the years went on, the numbers kind of went down. So, like, we were a pretty close-knit group in high school, and we had a lot of fun. I'd say the biggest difference, the jump, not really any difference in that camaraderie, but it training with the girls, I think, like, just all, being a much bigger team, and then just, like, having to balance those classes right away, figuring out your schedule and how to manage a college course load, as well as practices on top of practices on top of practices on mm-hmm. top of lifts on top of practices. Type of thing. So a lot more practices. But yeah, it was a pretty easy adjustment, I would say. It wasn't too much different team wise, mm-hmm. I guess.
I would say kind of the same. So our high school team was not very good. And so we did a lot less practices. They weren't super hard because we only had 3 lanes to swim in with 24 people.
Oh, geez.
So you could only do so much before you were lapping people. Mm-hmm. So from high school to here, it was different in that sense. But as far as, like, the team goes, I definitely, because when I wasn't in high school, I'd do club. And so those practices were harder, but it wasn't very team-oriented. Like, the clubs I went to were so small, we barely did relays.
Okay.
Whereas in high school, and here especially, obviously it's way bigger here, but mm-hmm. Definitely the team aspect. I think it makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome to hear that, too.
Well, you didn't do relays back then, but you did relays this weekend. Both of you did, and both of you came away with championship crowns in those relays. Kind of just talk us and the listeners through, what's the vibe like going into a relay? Because we've had track athletes on, and, you know, talking about, like, the 4x4 is, you know, you do your best, so the next person behind you has the best chance to do their best and obviously keep ahead of everybody else. Same mentality pretty much for the relays?
I would say it's a little different from that, I think, just because, so, I mean, we have freestyle relays where everyone's doing freestyle, but then we have medley relays where each person does a different stroke. So it right. kind of feels like you have your own role, you have your own job to do. I love relays. Like, I love being on a relay, especially at those conference meets. Like, in that environment is unbelievable. You get more excited for anything, or for a relay more than anything. Just, it's, the environment's crazy. You get to do the walkout through all the other teams, and you get to pick a walkout song. And
oh, nice. What song do you guys got? I'm big on that.
I actually, this room is a little, you know, it's hurting me. I had the Bulls, Spiris.
Yes. Dude, you and me right now? Yeah.
We did
that. The Alan Parsons. Yeah. Yes.
The Alan Parsons Project.
90s hoops, man. Yep. That's, oh, yeah.
I'm
oh,
a big Bulls, Bears, all yep. that stuff, so. And then
dude, that was my walkout at my wedding song.
Really?
So, yeah,
that's yeah. That is so awesome. Yeah, yeah. We did that one, and then we did Read Me My Rights by Brantley Gilbert.
Nice.
A little country rock. So,
yeah. Yes.
It's so awesome, though, that just the environment. If you ever, like, see a video on YouTube or something, mm-hmm. you should watch, because it's pretty crazy.
You were nodding your head quite a bit in there with the relays, too, so.
Yeah. No, I pretty much agree. I like doing a relay start, especially, which I don't usually do often, but I got to this year. And just seeing everybody on the side, like, screaming for everyone going in front of you, and it's like, well, shoot, this will be embarrassing if I don't do well. Like, I gotta go. And it definitely gets you going, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Our walkout songs are a little different.
Yeah, what is yours now? I gotta...
Well, we're a little weird sometimes. So for one of them, we did Thomas the Tank Engine, and the other one was Star Wars, like the
the main Star
yeah.
Wars.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Oh, that's yeah. awesome.
I love where this
just
is going right
just
now.
Just a complete yeah. vibe change. Thomas I know, the Tank right? Engine. Yeah.
So what? I mean, you guys realize to me, like, you mentioned starting in that too, but like, kind of go through the timing of it all, because I feel like that would almost be like nerve-wracking for somebody like me. It's like, you know, jump it too soon or, you know, too late or whatever. I mean, is it a little nerve-wracking though too to be in those relay races?
I think like at our age, I mean, I know Sydney started a little later, but like, you've been doing relay exchanges for mm-hmm. a lot. Like, you've done them a lot. So at this point, I don't even think about
it's like second nature,
leaving early, just because mm-hmm. I don't even want that thought in my head. I've done so many. I've been, mm-hmm. I'm not going to put that even in the air, just so you have your timing. It's not going to change. You know, you pretty much, it's muscle memory,
yeah,
basically. So I like to push it, you know.
Yep.
Haven't gotten called for it, so.
Must be doing something right.
I'm doing it right, right?
Exactly.
I feel like we're a little different. We definitely don't push it. mostly because I guess we are a little more nervous, if you will. And so, like, knowing that if you mess up and do DQ the race, then that's, like, a huge problem. Not mm-hmm. that it's even likely. But I don't think we've ever been close, especially mm-hmm. at conference. Like, it really is second nature. It's just, like, some people get in their heads about it.
What... And the reason I asked this is because I read a book a while ago, and it was a book that told different stories from different athletes. And there was Michael Phelps. I was reading a little bit about him and some, you know, what kind of goes through his mind, you know, while he's swimming, and, you know, maybe some of the obstacles that go through. I remember one time he talked about, I think it was actually the Olympics, you know, water was leaking through his goggles while he was racing, but he can't change anything, you know, kind of overcoming that and all that. But, like, what do you guys think of anything? Like, what's going through your mind when you're swimming? I mean, is it something you keep pushing yourself, or you kind of like, are you able to close it out? You know, because it feels like for swimming, if something does kind of pop up, like water leaking through your goggles, you even think about that for a second, it seems like, well, you're already behind the competition or something like that. So what's your mindset, I guess, like while you're swimming, while you're racing?
Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty 50-50, honestly. Sometimes I just black out and it's mm-hmm. just
you're in the zone.
I'm out and then yeah. I'm there again. I swim breaststroke, so I count my strokes. So I'm like a five stroke, six strokes, depending on the race. So I'm usually just thinking about my strokes. I feel like I tell myself, like, all right, here we go. Like, I feel like I say that to myself a lot in my head, just kind of as like a self-motivating thing. But I don't know, I think once you get to those big races is you shouldn't really have to think about too much, just because you know mm-hmm. you know what you've done, you know where you're at, so you just trust it. And yeah, I don't think I think about too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think same, especially for like the 50 free, that one you just black out. You yeah. just go and hope it works out. And then some of the other races, I'll definitely try and focus on specific things I've been working on throughout the season, just so that, like, I don't freak out about the race itself. So I'll be like, okay, we need to do good turns and mm-hmm. good walls because we've been working on that. And then at the end of the race, when it hurts, I just tell myself that we died all season to, like, so just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So that yeah. definitely helps.
Yeah, because even like he was talking about, you know, whether he had to shorten up his stroke just to reach a certain point, or, you know, but he talked a lot about, like, you know, the consistency of the you know, length and, you know, that. But then there'd be certain times like, okay, should I do that, even though it might back, you know, kind of result in a negative thing? It seems like sometimes there is different thought process you have to go through your head to kind of figure that out.
I think one of his most Michael Phelps' most notable races, if you go back and watch it, there was like 100 fly that mm-hmm. hit during his like 2008 run. And if you go back and watch the finish, it came down to like 100th, him and the
yeah.
guy
yep.
next to him. And if you watch it, the guy next to him decided to take the long stroke in
mm-hmm.
and Phelps took the extra stroke, half stroked it, yep. short stroked it, and that's like won the race. So it's yep. like all those things are kind of going through your head, but they're like not really. I don't know. You kind of just do it.
Yeah, right?
It's just a natural instinct. But yeah, I think that was one of his, like,
mm-hmm.
that was what saved his big medal run in like 2008, was that like decision at the very end to
yeah.
take that short stroke into the wall. But yeah.
Because I think, didn't he like race before that? So he was like yeah. just exhausted or yeah. something like
he
that.
Had,
I think
like, he probably talked like three races.
Yeah.
Or something crazy.
But exactly. Yeah. It's just reading some of his stuff. I don't know if you guys, you know, I don't want to like pigeonhole it because you're swimming, so you guys must, you know, follow Michael Phelps or anything
no,
like that.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to hear some of like his training and what he yeah. kind of went through in that. And it's like, no, thank you.
he definitely was on like the extreme end, I think, mm-hmm. of like reading that. You wouldn't want to like try and get someone into swimming with the Michael Phelps regimen. But he definitely
mm-hmm.
he didn't take training lightly.
Right. Yeah. What for you guys, what is kind of the main, you mentioned a little bit earlier, workout, you know, is it weight? Is it endurance? I got to imagine it's probably a little bit of a mixture in there, but is there like a certain style, maybe a workout that you guys really focus on for your events?
Yeah. So I guess our practices are broken up by threes every day. So there's two practices a day, but there's a sprint set, a stroke, like a mid-distance stroke, and then or an IM, and then there's a distance set. So that stroke set's going to be a lot more anaerobic, a lot more sprinting, more rests, short, fast stuff. The two-stroke, like we both swim two-stroke and the 50 freestyle, so we're usually either in that sprint or the stroke, which is maybe a little bit more endurance work, some anaerobic threshold in there. But those distance guys are just ripping out yards for 2 hours.
How?
Constantly. I have no idea. I had to do a couple at the beginning of the year. I had an injury and I had to come back, so I was trying to get back into shape, and it was terrible.
Yeah?
Awful.
I can imagine.
It was awful.
Yep, I don't have too much to add, although we also lift twice a week,
okay.
And I personally find that really helpful. I think it depends, because I sprint mostly, and so I find that really helpful. I feel, like, stronger in the water.
Mm-hmm.
I could absolutely never do distance. That is, like, I would absolutely quit. But they're so good. Like, our distance team on both sides is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're a huge reason why we won on both sides. They go, like, 1 through 5. On the podium in some events. So, yeah.
Is it a lot of upper body workouts or?
It's kind of a mix, I think.
Is
we did a lot of like split squats this year, but then we'll also do a bunch of pull ups.
Okay.
Pretty big. But so I think it's all over.
Okay. Because I think a lot of people probably just assume it's a lot of upper body, like maybe not, you know, following someone who's like, oh, you're using your arms all the time. You gotta be buff at the top or something like that.
Yeah, I would say we focus a lot full body. And shout out to Cody. Cody's gets us to where we need to be. But I would say we focus full body. Yeah, we do a lot of like standing vertical jump, even just to get like the reaction time off the block, and shoulders are obviously super important. Yeah, we're hitting pretty much everything.
So to kind of feed off that, I know I'm taking probably your time over there.
Yeah, you are.
What's
new?
But, you know, kind of feeding off that, and maybe kind of a little bit of adjustment, maybe like for you, Cindy, when you got to, how much is like diet and, you know, like what you put in your body, eat, you know, transition on the water? Because I can't do it. I want my burgers and, you know, and all that stuff. And I've made that mistake of trying to carbo load before a basketball game and puked in the locker room a half hour in there. So, you know, but is that something that you guys have to think about, you know, while you're in season or maybe off season too? Or, I mean, we've talked about this with a lot of athletes, you know, with the staff that you guys got over there and all that. How big of an adjustment maybe was that for you too? Or were you a little used to it maybe for you because of all your years in swimming?
I would say we get a little bit of grace just because, I mean, it's such a cardio intense sport. We're burning so many calories. It's pretty hard to keep up if you're not eating a lot.
Right.
Granted, what you're eating, I think, is very important. Like eating pounding cheeseburgers every day isn't going to get you very far. Like you gotta.
So that was my problem.
Put the right gas in the Ferrari type of thing, right? But I try and do my best. I'm not too hard on myself about it, just because I know I need to recover with calories sometimes. Oh, you know.
Is it
now the Shamrock Shakes are huge?
Nice,
so.
I like that. Is it hard for you guys? Like one thing we found, or I've found interesting talking to some athletes, and you guys talking about practices 3 times a day. Is it hard to remember to eat sometimes within your day?
Yes,
yeah?
Especially because on Tuesdays and Thursdays specifically, we'll lift and swim, and then classes in between likely, and then another swim, and it's like even just trying to find time to eat. But then I'll get super hungry, obviously.
Right.
So, but it's, you want to put decent food in you, but sometimes you just have to eat whatever you can find before,
right,
or the next one will not go well.
Right. All right, Nick, I'll let you ask.
All right, I kind of want to take it back to this weekend, because it was a 4-day meet, so very, very long. we were kind of chatting in our little opening before you guys got here. At what point did you guys know that the title was yours? Because y'all were, both teams were up by like 100 after day two, even more. And like, is I guess for us and for the listeners, like, is 100 points in a 4-day meet like that after day two, is that like a pretty big margin? Or is that something that could be, you know, easily flipped within a day?
Yeah, so we've definitely previously have had a massive lead as such. And I think every team has their strengths and weaknesses, right? So there's going to be a day where it's gonna hurt a little bit. I don't think I ever, until the final score was read, I don't think I, like, ever assumed it. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it can change, things can change fast, and it's a matter of hundredths of seconds that it could be a 20-point swing just like that in one event. So it's pretty hard to be confident until those last couple events, I would say.
And then I think also going off of that, diving is massive. And so for the women, they had their last day of diving on Saturday. And lacrosse, like, I mean, our main competition was lacrosse. And they have, like, five divers that could have made the top eight. And our divers did amazing. Hence why we felt a lot more comfortable towards the end. Like, we definitely knew by the time diving was coming on Saturday that we were going to be good. But before that, it was, I think, like 10 to 15 points could have, we had a little bit more wiggle room, but still had to show up. But I definitely think everyone was just so, like, no one really doubted it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, it was obviously a possibility that we wouldn't, but everybody was so excited. The energy was there, and I just, there was, like, no way people were going to not do what they needed to do.
Right. You guys had the lead, and it wasn't one of those things where people got complacent. It was more of like, oh, everybody else has done so good. It's now my turn to, you know, show off and show up and put my time out there to, you know, just increase the lead even more.
Yeah. And then also going off of what Ian was saying too, like, different teams have their strengths. So, like, lacrosse is really good at two strokes, which is what is on the last day.
Yeah.
So, like, we were really good coming up to that. But we also have the mile on the last day, which is our amazing distance people. So it's kind of like, yeah, that was part of it too.
So looking at, can you explain a little bit, you know, looking at the schedule here too, something we were kind of talking about, the diving zones that are coming up. Because you got the NCAA championships are after that. But what, for anybody who maybe doesn't really know, what are the NCAA diving zones that are coming up next week?
And then I'm going to add to that, can you please explain to us what a zone A cut is and a zone B cut is?
Yeah.
Sydney's looking at me like she doesn't know. So, Ian, you might be our only source here.
I'll do my best. I'll try not to offend anyone. But, So basically the diver, so we just have conference in NCAAs. The way I think about it, diving has that conference meet, sectional meet, NCAAs.
Right.
So they have to qualify for that zone meet where then they go to zones. I believe it's next weekend.
Yep.
Coming up next weekend. They have to get their invites from that zone meet.
Got it.
So it's just another opportunity for them.
And it's one of those things where they have to perform so well during the season to even get invited to that sectional or regional.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then those B and A cuts, we also have those at swimming, but the B cuts are, I forget how they do them. They have some sort of calculation, but you have to hit the B cut to get invited to the zone meet, which our divers, amazing, get those at every meet. So they're crazy, but those A cuts, I believe, are like an average of all three divisions, or like they're super hard to obtain, very, very difficult, which I don't think it makes a difference. Still get invited to the same meet, so it's just that next level, I guess.
Because I will raise my hand and out myself a little here. Coach will text me after every meet this year and say, oh, so and so hit, you know, a B cut, the zone cut.
Yep.
I have no idea what that is, so I just put in the release and hope that that makes sense to somebody, because I don't. But.
Yeah, swimming, it's such a weird sport. It's like, I mean, it was like this for a high school state, but you don't, there's not like a time standard to go to high school state or NCAAs. It's they take the top 16 times in the country in that single event. Mm-hmm. So by getting that B cut, that's like the first step, but it doesn't guarantee you a spot at the end of the year. So like, there's a couple guys and a couple girls that had B cuts. Caden Denner, Ben Keller.
I think Ella got one too.
Ella has a couple. Molly Hosack. They got those B cuts, but that doesn't guarantee them a spot into the meet. It's just kind of like that next level separates them, you know, tier one
from the rest.
Gotcha. Type of thing. Yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah.
So I gotta ask, you know, recruiting wise, or you know, when you were deciding where to swim, or you know, kind of going back to your high school days, what was it about Eau Claire? What was it about maybe coach that kind of drew you to the area? I know out of state for you, Sydney. I mean, you're a local kid here too. But what was it about Eau Claire? What was it about coach that kind of drew you to be a Blue Gold?
Yeah. So I think swimming that for the Y there in Chippewa, all my coaches were swimmers at UW, like current swimmers at Eau Claire. It just kind of rotated through the years. Started probably when I was in middle school. It was like Emily and Maggie, and then I got to the guy I owe all the credit to, like my love and desire for swimming, Nick Hora, and then it just kind of cycled through all these different Blue Golds that came and coached me. So I already had a great relationship with an understanding of the team, and then obviously I could come to a Blue Gold meet whenever they swam at home, so I'd always come watch. And then Annie was super great during the recruiting process. I already obviously knew the training style that she did just because that's what I had already been doing with my coaches. And she brought the team to my senior night, which I thought was really cool, to my high school senior night. So that pretty much sold it. I mean, a coach that wants you on their team. And Yeah.
So awesome.
That was what got me, I guess.
I didn't know Eau Claire, Wisconsin existed, but I was looking at just a ton of random different schools, mostly for school, and then my mom forced me to look at Whitewater on a day off of school, and they had a really good environmental science program, so I was like, well, I kind of like that, but I really wasn't digging the team. The only person that I kind of connected with was a senior, so she was leaving, and I was like, and the people I stayed with were transferring. I was like, okay, but it was also, I was balancing that with school, so I didn't know. And then Annie emailed me with the picture of the river. Gorgeous. Yeah. I was like, okay, wait. So then I visited, and I spent an overnight, and the team was great. So much better than any other visit I had been on. And then I came back again in January, so there was no school, but she got a meeting with the biology department with me, or like the head of the biology department, and I got to meet. Because I just wanted to know more about school, because I hadn't actually done, like, an Eau Claire tour. Just funny, it's the only school I didn't tour. but, yeah. So I would just say the team, for sure, made a big difference. I want to go there.
Awesome. Well, I think that's what you mean. You mentioned it, Coach, getting you a meeting with the biology department. I think that's one of the things that isn't talked about as much, is that a lot of our coaches have the ability to set recruits up with, you know, whatever major department they want to go into.
Yeah, and that was cool. I've never heard that before.
And
that was
really cool. And it happens a lot, and it's because of the longstanding relationship that athletics has had with the education side of the university. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, if somebody is very, I mean, we had Mitch on last week for the business, School of Business. I got to imagine Chip had, I mean, I know he came here for school, but I got to imagine Chip had done his, you know, done his due diligence and got him a meeting with, you know, the School of Business. Same goes for, you know, all the coaches here on campus. And I think that just kind of shows the recruits' worth a little bit more, in a sense of like, hey, we're going to take this extra step to get you the time to sit down one-on-one and kind of, you know, let you take it all in and digest what the school has to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think I even asked for it. I'm pretty sure she offered it because I was like, I liked the team. I just don't feel like I know what the school is like because of my visit. I just stayed with the team.
Right.
And she was like, oh, well, I can just get you to talk to whoever you want. Like, just let me know. And I was like, okay. So she's very big on, like, school as well, which in my mind, like, athletics is great. It's an awesome part of the experience, but that's what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. And so as glad she feels the same.
Nice.
Well, and I got to say, it definitely worked out because you were named Judy Kruckman Scholar Athlete of the Year. So first off, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Did she tell you that she was nominating you?
Yeah, because I had to send in my
paperwork.
Stuff. Yeah.
Did you think you had a shot at it?
I don't know. I wasn't really thinking about it too much. I was like, yeah, sure, here's my stuff. But yeah.
That's got to be. I mean, just reading through reading through the not only the application form because I had to sign it, but also put together release and all that stuff. Like your work within like the honors program and stuff like that. Like it's do a lot. While also, you know, performing at a very high level for swimming, like, for both of you, like, because I know Coach, like you said, is very, very adamant about, like, schooling, and I know we kind of talked about it at the beginning, but, like, as you've gone through the years and you've gotten to be upperclassmen, does it get easier balancing school and sport?
I think you're used to it, and I think school-wise, for sure, but as I got older, I got involved in more things other than just class, so, like, that was kind of hard to balance, I guess, but it's also so many people on our team do the same thing. Like, there's a ton of people that do research, and, like, my roommate Brett is the president of the university, but also, like, still doing swimming and diving. So it's just, I guess when you have that group of people around you who do that as well, it's, like, a little, I guess it's easier to manage.
Anything to add on that?
Yeah, no, I would agree with her. I don't think it gets easier per se, but you definitely know how to manage it a little better. And yeah, you just kind of muscle memory type of thing, I guess, related to sports. It just you just get used to it.
All right, before I get to some lightning round questions for you, because my limited interaction with her, Coach seems to be kind of calm, cool, all that. What's she like though, when it's game time?
Does she yell ever?
She can, maybe. I don't think it's a yell, like you would think, but she gets serious. Like this whole last week, she was, you could see it. She's focused, like one of the most focused people I know. Like, and the energy is, the energy she gives off just makes you want to succeed and win. So I think that plays a big factor into what we accomplished, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I pretty much agree with that. I don't know if I have much more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the mindset here now in the next couple of weeks for you guys? What's on the plan? What's the game plan and getting ready and all that stuff?
Personally, I'm looking forward to breaking out the golf clubs.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Nationals is just a couple weeks away.
I'll get back in the water. I don't really have a shot of qualifying this year, but I'm excited to get back in the water. I'm a senior this year, but I have my COVID year from freshman year, so I'll be coming back.
Is that the first anybody's hearing that? We're breaking news?
I guess, yeah. We can
break
it.
Yes!
Leak it. Credit to the
Ian Olsen is coming back for his fifth year.
I'll get back in the water here pretty soon. But I got a few more Shamrock Shakes and definitely some rounds of golf to get home here soon. So
that's awesome.
I got my foot-long cookie from Subway yesterday.
Gosh.
I've been waiting on that one, so that was really good. Our 4-med relay and a couple others have maybe a chance at nationals, so I've been swimming this week. We'll know by the end of the week, so I'll cut back on those cookies until I find out, but I had to at least try it.
Absolutely. All right, let's end her here with some lightning round questions, okay? Some very deep diving, philosophical type of questions. Favorite food?
Steak and mashed potatoes.
What kind of steak? Like, how do you like your steak? Medium? Medium well?
Medium rare.
Medium rare, okay.
Potatoes of, like, any kind.
Okay.
Like, mashed, scallops.
Fries.
All that
stuff? Okay. Do you want to ask it, or do you just want me to ask it?
Just ask it.
Okay. Does pineapple belong on a pizza?
No.
Yeah. I can do it. I can eat it. I'm not going to.
I'm with you.
Absolutely not.
I thought of you last week.
He's not my best friend.
I thought of you last week, though. We ordered Papa Murphy's, and right there on the front was an advertisement. half pepperoni, half Canadian pineapple, and yeah, I was like, oh, that's our pizza. If you and I ever want to,
I was gonna say, you want me to order it for breakfast next week?
Hang out sometime, have a pizza. You can have your half, and I'll have my half. So
easy.
Favorite movie?
Probably Ocean's 11.
Ooh, classic. Going old school. I like that.
I don't know. Maybe My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Love that.
Really?
Movie.
That would not. Okay.
The original. I like them all, but the original.
I like that you guys are giving a little shout out to the Pat. Nothing like current or anything like that. Yeah. You know, a little bit older. Not too old, but a little bit older. With that, are you guys binge watching, streaming anything right now? Or what was the last thing you did binge watch?
I'm watching Fargo right now.
Okay.
I finished season one. And that was pretty awesome.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Last thing I binge watched was Love Island with my roommates. Because it's funny and you can just turn your brain off.
So. Yes. Yeah. Favorite hobby outside of swimming? Was it golf?
I played golf in high school. That was my second sport, so I'm eager. I just got new clubs.
What kind?
Year. I got the Mizuno.
Okay.
They're almost blades.
Yeah. You're a blade one?
Man. Yeah.
I need the forgiveness.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I hurt my shoulder, so I didn't get to play at all last year, so I got to use them. I took them out to the range. I got like 20 swings in. I'm like, this isn't going to work, so I'm very excited to get back out there.
Nice. Yeah.
I say as of recent, my friend Becca, also a swimmer, got me into, like, bouldering climbing.
Okay.
And also, not outside, but, like, inside.
Gotcha.
And also, she took me snowboarding once, and that was really fun. Ooh. And then it wasn't snowy enough afterwards, so I would like to do that again. That was really fun.
Favorite music?
Country.
Favorite country artist, though?
Luke Combs.
Okay. Fast car.
Also country. Probably Jason Aldean.
Okay. Well, you guys are in the right area for country music, for festivals and that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll ask it. Favorite book? You guys have one? Sydney's like, no. What are you talking about?
I feel like I haven't read since I was in, like, middle school.
There's this.
To be divergent.
I can't remember who it's by, but there's a Plane for Pizza. By one of those big name guys, but it's about they start like these old retired football players from America move out to Italy, and they start like they have like a semi pro.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yep, I've heard about that.
It's a pretty good book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I've heard about that, but biggest influence in your life?
You just went from favorite food to biggest influence.
I think I say both of my parents for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They've just always been super supportive. They always tell me I can do whatever I want. And I don't know. They've made me believe that for my whole life. So I think in the pool and out of the pool, they've both been a great influence, I guess.
Yeah. Ian's been thinking hard on this one.
Yeah. I guess I would say my parents as well. I just have such a great support system around me.
Mm-hmm. Favorite athlete as a kid? Is it just like, oh no?
It was Jordan Weaver in gymnastics.
Okay.
And then also Simone Biles, obviously.
Yeah.
She's a queen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to have to do it. Probably say Jay Cutler, Mitch Trubisky, probably.
You have a Jay Cutler vibe to you a little bit.
I'm going to Devin Hester, Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, wow.
Just all the greats.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of looks like Jay a little bit. Kind of the very calm, cool, relaxed.
Yeah.
Sort of, right? What would you think I was getting at?
No, just
that
your facial expression when you just started listing Bears quarterbacks was just priceless.
Jay Cutler was the greatest number six in Packers history.
Oh my god!
Ouch.
Was Jim McMahon the best number nine then?
Probably.
Has to be.
He'd be up there. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. We could go all day on this one. I love it. Favorite sport? I guess it's kind of the same as hobby because you said golf, but you're gymnastics, so I'm going to throw that one out there, right?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. So this one's just for you. I already know him. Favorite team?
Oh, the Bears.
You kidding me? Oh, you're from Illinois. That's right.
Okay.
Oh, Lord Almighty. How about that? So All right. Did you have any before we let these kids go?
No, I'm good.
You're good? Well, guys, congratulations on this past weekend. And still, best of luck coming up. And are you coming back next year?
That's an unknown. Okay. We'll see.
I tried, Nick. I tried to break young.
It's potential. I just don't know yet.
Okay. So, well, if you do, we'll get you back on, too. Okay. But thanks for coming in, guys.
Yes,
thank you. We appreciate it. This was a lot of fun. And again, congratulations on a fantastic season and still best of luck for what's to come, too. So,
Thanks for having us.
You got it. And that's going to do it for us on this episode of the Rollin' with the Golds podcast. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to the Rollin' with the Golds podcast wherever you listen to your podcast. And while you're there, if you could, give us a positive rating and a positive review so others can find the podcast. For Nick Hoven, I'm Dan Casper, and we will talk to you on the next episode of Rollin' with the Golds.